From a transmitter atop Great Blue Hill, this is WGBH, live, local talk, Boston Public Radio.
This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. Yesterday, the Postmaster General announced what may have been long feared, the end of Saturday service. It would go into effect in August and limit weekend deliveries to packages and P.O. boxes. Turns out the Postmaster General doesn't have the final say. Congress has to approve any cuts in service. Joining us now to talk about what could happen in the coming months is Steve Hutkins. He's an associate professor at NYU's Gallatin School, and he's author of the blog Save the Post Office. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show, Callie. Pleasure to be with you.
We're glad to have you as well. We're opening up our lines at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. Will you miss your Saturday service, or is a service cut exactly what the United States Post Office needs to save itself? 877-301-8970, or you can tweet us at Boss Public Radio or write to our Facebook page. Now, back to Steve Hutkins, author of the blog Save the Post Office. So, since the Postmaster General doesn't have the final say, what in the world was he talking about yesterday, and why did he say
that? Well, that was the first question I had when I heard the news in the morning, because for the past 2 years while I've been watching all of this happen, you know, it's been taken for granted that it would require congressional approval. But it turns out that there may be a loophole that he's looking at. Apparently, the law about prohibiting the elimination of Saturday delivery appears in the annual appropriations bill, but we don't have an appropriations bill right now. They're operating on some kind of extended measure. So he apparently thinks that he can kind of slip this in while nobody's looking or something, and it will depend on Congress reaffirming the ban on eliminating Saturday delivery. And since Congress can agree on so little, maybe he'll get away with it. I don't know. He could just be trying to light a fire under Congress to get some legislation passed, but I think most people are taking him pretty seriously.
Well, the thing is that, they are taking him seriously, because a lot of congresspersons came forward yesterday to comment on the fact that he didn't have the right to make that determination.
A lot of them.
I want to give us a chance to hear from Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins, and she was on Morning Edition yesterday, and she was one of the ones saying he's a little bit too hasty in calling for an end to Saturday service. Here she is, Susan Collins.
The Postal Service certainly is in a financial crisis, but cutting service should be the last resort, not the Postal Service's first choice. My concern is that the decision to eliminate Saturday delivery threatens to drive still further away its customers. It's also inconsistent with current law.
All right. That was Susan Collins, Maine Republican, saying that just doesn't make any sense. And she knows about the law, because she'd be the one making the new law if there was one.
Right.
And our number here is 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. I'm talking with Steve Hutkins. He's an associate professor at NYU's Gallatin School and author of the blog Save the Post Office. You just heard a little clip from Susan Collins saying that the Postmaster General had no right to say that they would end Saturday service in August. But let's just assume for the moment that he's managing to do, he found just the sweet spot, because as you said, there is no, right now we're in this kind of murky period where there's no appropriations, and so maybe he figured that out, which is why he said it, and he can do the equivalent of having a recess law, if you will, while nobody's paying attention. And if that is right, then let's address what he said would happen as a result of doing this and the reason for it, which is to save $2 billion. And you say, not so fast. Those numbers are murky, too.
Yes. Every time the Postal Service comes up with a plan to downsize and save operating costs, it comes under scrutiny. And almost invariably, the revised numbers are much less than the original numbers. The first time the Postal Service proposed eliminating Saturday delivery back in 2010, they said it would save $3.1 billion. That was reviewed by the Postal Regulatory Commission, the agency that regulates the Postal Service and reviews all of its plans. And they said it would save $1.7 billion, $1.4 billion less than the Postal Service came up with. So this $2 billion, if it were to be reviewed by the PRC or any independent agency, would probably wind up coming in at about half that.
So we're not getting as much of the savings as they've said. He also seemed to suggest that, you know, the trimmings were coming from the service and not, but really what you pointed out is it's really all about eliminating jobs.
Well, from the point of view of the postal workers, sure, that's the main thing. To save $2 billion in operating costs requires eliminating about 27,000 jobs. And if you remember who works for the post office, it's minorities, women, veterans. So these are the groups that are hit hardest when jobs are cut at the post office. But I'm not a postal worker, so I look at this from the point of view of just the average citizen. And as Susan Collins said, the way to address the problems of the Postal Service are not to cut service. It just drives customers away and increases the downward spiral that they're in right now.
Right.
They should be expanding services, not cutting services.
And in fact, Steve, I have to say, we've had a couple of people on our show in past months who have some ideas for changing service, sharpening service, making it 21st century service, if you will, but maintaining service, not cutting it. Just ways of redistributing the way the post office has traditionally worked. And they say almost to a person, we can't get anybody's attention. We like the post office. We'd like it to keep going. We just like them to think about ways of keeping and bringing in more customers. Are you hearing that as well?
Sure. Part of the problem is that Congress has passed legislation limiting the products and services that the Postal Service can offer, and the Congress is heavily lobbied by private companies that feel that the Postal Service would be infringing on their ability to make profits. So the Postal Service is basically handcuffed and cannot do the kinds of things that would bring it into the 21st century and that would make it more attractive to customers to go into it. Just think about the kind of stuff that's at a Kinko's or a UPS store that the Postal Service isn't allowed to do. And there's all kinds of high-tech, hybrid mail sorts of things that the Postal Service could be getting into. But again, the competitors lobby their congressmen to prevent that from happening.
I'm talking with Steve Hudkins. He's an associate professor at NYU's Gallatin School, and he's the author of the blog Save the Post Office. And we're talking about yesterday's announcement by the Postmaster General that the post office would end Saturday service in August. But as we pointed out here this morning, he doesn't have the right to do that. That's legislation which has to be handled by Congress. And some congresspersons have already said that's just not going to happen. Mike from Needham, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio.
Yes. Please explain to me why the American taxpayer should subsidize catalog companies and junk mail companies to the tune of $25 million a day. Why doesn't the post office charge the amount of money it costs to mail junk mail and catalogs? Please explain that to me.
I'm going to give that question to Steve Hudkins, and I will add before Steve responds, these are the group of people that are very not at all bothered by this change because they don't care if the catalogs and the junk mail get to you slower. They still have a low cost that they're playing. That's all that they care about, which is to Mike's point. What do you say, Steve?
Well, Mike makes a great point about the catalog mailers and other kinds of ad mail that actually get such big discounts that the Postal Service basically loses money on delivering their mail. The price that they charge them is less than it costs for the Postal Service to process and deliver their mail. But Mike has a little bit of the story wrong. The taxpayer doesn't subsidize the Postal Service one penny. The Postal Service since 1971 has been an independent agency that does not take any taxpayer money at all. So we are not subsidizing that through tax money. We are subsidizing those catalog mailers through the postage that we pay because the average person that mails something first class is paying much more for that stamp than it costs to deliver that piece of mail. So our mail is subsidizing the catalog mail. The $25 million a day that the Postal Service is losing, that's the number that's always repeated by the Postmaster General and the media. That is something of a fiction. 80% of the money that the Postal Service is supposedly losing is associated with the $5.5 billion annual payments that it's required to make into its retiree health care fund, also a mandate from Congress. Mm. And these are payments that are totally unnecessary, totally unlike anything in that private companies or other government agencies are required to make to take care of their retirees 50 years down the road. And this is what's driving the Postal Service into the hole and making it look like it's going broke when, in fact, it's not.
And by the way, I should add that Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is makes that exact point and is very upset about that particular requirement for the post office and says it has to stop. We are looking for postal carriers as well, people who are folks working for the post office who definitely have a dog in this fight. Call us and let us know what you think about the proposed, even though right now it's being challenged, Saturday stoppage of mail. The packages would go through, but not regular mail. 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. Chris from Boston. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Hi, Callie. Thanks for taking my call. I'm actually the wife of a letter carrier, so I can probably provide some insight from both sides as far as this issue goes. On the one hand, the stoppage of Saturday delivery also means that my husband's overtime gets stopped.
Hmm.
So, you know, I mean, but at a cost savings to the consumer. You know, so to your guest's point, that is a huge savings because he can't be the only one across the nation getting overtime.
Right.
But also, as far as the packages on Saturday delivery, I would love for him to be home on the weekends with the kids. You know, I have Saturdays by myself right now, except for every 6 weeks when he actually gets a Saturday off. So, you know, I mean, to the benefit of the worker, I think that it's a huge benefit. And also, as far as the loss of jobs, to whomever. The post office is now employing what they call TEs, which stands for temporary employees.
Mm-hmm.
They're not hiring new carriers. They're hiring these temporary employees who have to reapply periodically. I don't know what that timetable is. But there's a lot of TEs in his particular post office that they can run at a lower rate. That are taking jobs from people who would like a career with the Postal Service. So, I mean, as far as that point goes, that's a cost saving on the post office part, but it doesn't really provide any real security to anybody that's looking to come into the post office. In fact, there are people that have not made what they call regular, as far as a regular letter carrier, career letter carrier.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are on that waiting list that I know personally have been on that list for 6 years. 6 years they've been working for the post office and they haven't made regular yet.
Yeah, that's you've raised some interesting points. I'm going to get thank you so much for your
thank
call, Chris.
Thank you, Callie.
I want Steve to respond to that.
Well, those are great points. The Postal Service is trying to replace full-time career workers with part-time, temporary, contract, casual workers in all realms. In small-town post offices, for example, just to cite another one, they're replacing career postmasters with part-time workers who make like $10, $12 an hour. And so partly what's going on here is the Postal Service is turning into like a Walmart. Instead of career employees who make a nice middle-class salary with nice benefits that you can raise a family on, they are replacing these people with the like the temporary kinds of workers that she was talking about that make hardly any money, no job security, and no benefits. This is all in the name of cost-cutting, but it's not really addressing what the Postal Service should be and how its infrastructure should be valued and taken care of. As for the overtime problem, the Postal Service could have full-time employees working on Saturdays without imposing on its regular employees with overtime, but they don't want to hire new full-time employees to do that sort of thing. So this is why they wind up spending more than they might need to by using the overtime workers. But she knows much more about that than I do living with a letter carrier.
Well, you know, quite a bit. This is Steve Hudkins, my guest, and he is the author of the blog Save the Post Office. He's also an associate producer at NYU's Gallatin School. And I should share with you, Steve, and others that this is personal to me. My uncle was a full-time letter carrier and retired with the post office and then, you know, worked on the union side of it for many, many years. And my father put foot on the table and educated us. He wasn't a letter carrier. He worked in administration.
Also in the postal service.
Yeah. So this, you know, has deep meaning to me. And I send letters. Yep. You know, I was just at the post office this morning. There you go. All right. So Dave from Bristol, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio. Dave?
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm intrigued by the need. I'm almost a 50-year-old with a family.
Dave, can you turn down your radio? We can't hear you well.
I'm sorry. Is that any better?
Yes.
I had my Bluetooth. Sorry about that.
Uh-huh.
I'm almost 50-year-old that I barely use the Postal Service. Most of the stuff that comes in my mailbox is junk. I pay most of my bills online. I get my bills online. Losing Saturday service to me has no impact on me whatsoever. And quite frankly, if it dropped down to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'd be okay with that as well. And it seems, just based on hearing some of the conversations from the prior callers and from your guests, the Postal Service, their business model just isn't working, and they need to adapt to the times. And if they're losing that much money, then clearly something's not working, and maybe somebody else ought to be running the company. That's just my perspective. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dave. And Steve, I would say there's a couple things in there. First of all, Dave is not living in a rural area, and we know that there are lots of people in rural and remote areas that would be deeply affected by a cut in service, Saturday or otherwise, from the post office. And I mean, he makes a point that others have made about maybe there's some sharpening that could be happening in terms of management and the way that the post office operates. But you've made the point earlier that some of that they want to do and are prohibited from doing by the law.
Exactly. The 2006 Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act prevents the Postal Service from expanding into any products or services that would compete on, you know, with the private sector. So they are unable and handcuffed to do that. The junk mail problem is, you know, something else altogether. The Postal Service, you know, it doesn't decide what mail to accept. It's a neutral infrastructure that serves the entire country. If you don't like your junk mail, you can tell the people that are sending it to you to stop. But the Postal Service provides so much more than delivering ad mail. It delivers prescription drugs. We vote by mail. It does so much that to criticize this infrastructure that's been binding the nation together for three centuries because we don't like our junk mail is just not looking at the big picture and not really seeing the function that this infrastructure serves for us. But, you know, I have the same feeling. I go to the mailbox some days, and it's like, oh, I sigh and go, why am I even fighting to save this institution when, you know, I don't like the mail that day. But then the next day a parcel comes from something I ordered on the Internet like 2 days before, and all of a sudden there it is, very low price. It's quite an amazing thing that we have. Our postal rates are lowest of, you know, any of the advanced countries of the world, and it's so efficient. It's you can put something in the mailbox in Boston, and it'll show up in L.A. a couple of days later for 46 cents or whatever it is these days.
It's great.
An amazing thing that we have, and it really needs to be preserved. And if you look into why it's being attacked, who's attacking it, the misinformation that they put out about the deficit, you'll start to realize that what's going on here is private interests, privatization ideologues, and others are working together to basically take the post office away from us.
And here's a comment from Ryan on our Facebook page. He says, people in extremely rural areas without reliable access to high-speed internet rely on USPS, including its Saturday service, than most of us. Also, if you're on Social Security and out of money at the end of the month, that's going to be a really rough weekend to wait for the mail. These are important points.
Yes, I would just echo that. Those are great points, and it's really important to remember how many people in the country don't have access to broadband. We take it, you live in Boston, you take it for granted, but a lot of people don't, and a lot of people use the post office as a bank. They buy their money orders to pay their bills there. A lot of it's an amazing number of people in the country are unbanked and use the post office that way. So, you know, I'm on the internet all the time, so I can identify with those kinds of calls, but it takes, you know, you have to think about the whole country, and that's what the post office does. It binds the country together.
All right, Bill from Norton, Massachusetts. Go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio.
Good afternoon. I've got a couple points to make. I am a retired postal supervisor, and it is my opinion that they should have eliminated Saturday delivery many, many years ago.
Wow.
I've been talking about it for at least 15 years. I believe that 95% of the public would not be inconvenienced with
even
that.
The people in rural areas or who are waiting for their checks and all of that.
Well, here's the thing about the checks, and you just mentioned Social Security checks. Anybody who's not using direct deposit now really needs an urging, because there's so much that can happen with those checks, and direct deposit is by far the safest way to manage that. Number two, the Postal Service, with this proposal to continue to deliver parcels and P.O. Box mail on Saturdays, is sort of defeating the purpose being at least elimination of 1/6 of the transportation costs, which would be huge. That's really all I have to say.
All right. Thank you very much, Bill. Steve, you want to respond to that? Because I think you did some work about the transportation costs.
The second point is a really excellent point, and that's why I think that the cost savings that the Postmaster General cited of $2 billion will turn out to be grossly inflated, because if you are sending the carriers out in their vehicles to deliver the parcels, they're practically doing the same routes that they're doing to deliver the mail to each home. So why is there going to be such a big cost saving? But the reason that they didn't want to give up the parcel business is it's the one growing segment of the Postal Service's business, and it's the one edge that it has over the private shippers, which generally don't deliver on Saturday except for a high surcharge. So it was giving up an edge, and they looked over the situation and decided that it would not be a good idea to end parcel delivery. But the fact that they've been talking about this for ages doesn't make it a good idea. They've been talking about cutting services at the Postal Service for decades, closing post offices, closing them on Saturdays, cutting back their hours, cutting back on delivery days, cutting back on the number of blue collection boxes that are out there or the number of times they're visited a week. They've been trying to cut back on services for decades, and that's because the big mailers, the stakeholders who have the most influence over the policies of the Postal Service, are primarily interested in keeping their rates down, and they lobby the Postal Service to do whatever cuts are necessary in order to keep the costs down so that their mailing rates are as low as possible. And then, of course, there are those who like to attack the Postal Service because it has over 500,000 unionized workers, and they don't like unions, and they don't like government, big government at all, so they see the Postal Service as an emblem of big government, so they attack it for that. But I'm loath to disagree with a postal supervisor who knows a lot about what's going on, so that's just my opinion.
Well, this is going to be a topic of conversation, because now, and some believe this was his point, Postmaster General said this just to stir attention to it so that he could get Congress's attention to make them make some kinds of decisions about it. So we'll be talking about it for the next few weeks or months anyway. And maybe we'll have you back, Steve Hudkins.
Oh, I would love it. Thanks, Kelly.
Okay. I've been talking with Steve Hudkins. He's an associate professor at NYU's Gallatin School and the author of the blog Save the Post Office. Steve, thanks so much for joining us. Seth Godin, the man behind Yahoo, says people who don't think in a creative way are going to be left behind. Kara Miller is bringing you that conversation. I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio.